You are now listening to the Soul Trader podcast, music, creativity, and other plans, with your hosts, Simon James Betts and Corey Stewart.
So welcome to the Soul Trader podcast. In this podcast, we're going to explore the fascinating world of artificial intelligence and its impact on the music industry. We're going to discuss how AI is being used to kind of write, record and produce original songs and albums, and we'll explore the ethical implications of using AI to create music and how it can be used to create unique and innovative sounds. And it's a fascinating topic, and we're going to discuss those impacts on the music industry.
Sounds great.
How's
did
that?
Did you write that?
Maybe.
That's a nice motto.
Far too intelligent for me. but this podcast is, well, this part is not written by AI.
No.
But that's pretty succinct and coherent, more coherent than we normally are with an introduction to a podcast.
True.
I basically said write an introduction for the Soul Trader podcast talking about AI and it's used to write songs, basically.
Right. And so you were using Chat GPT?
Yes.
So that was the prompt that you wrote into it?
Yeah. I initially just put podcast and then it was like, welcome to the AI podcast.
We need
to give it a bit more information to kind of get something that's coherent. But it is amazing what AI is doing at the moment.
Well, it seems like everywhere you look, you know, whether you are reading blogs or watching video or on YouTube or, you know, even in mainstream news, you know, it seems like everything has some sort of artificially intelligent sort of component to it these days.
Yeah.
And I suppose what AI can do for the creative process and songwriting or just writing content or, even gathering ideas to compose or record, it sort of begs the question, you know, how far would it go and, what can it actually do? And I suppose, I'd like to find out from yourself, Simon, what your thoughts on it, because I've got definite thoughts on what AI can do and what my thoughts about it are.
Well, I was going to say maybe we give a couple of other little examples.
Yeah, sure.
Just using
doing this in real time.
Yeah, I've got the one here I did earlier, which was the more information you give it, if you give it quite a some context and some words you want to kind of use and, you can actually kind of, if I gave it more details, it gives more back that's kind of more relevant. So
I suppose before we go any further with that, I mean, we should sort of give some sort of definition as to what the tool we're using is. So, you're talking about ChatGPT.
Yeah.
And ChatGPT is a, for all the listeners and viewers out there, if you haven't heard of it, it's something that has been created by a company called OpenAI, and it's essentially a very, very smart, for want of a better word, chatbot that has been fed sort of huge amounts of data, and through machine learning, it has acquired the skill of basically having a conversation with the person that's using it. And, I liken it to having a really smart friend that, or a really smart collaborator that you can, bounce ideas from, off and from. And the responses that, depending on the prompts and the questions that you ask it is quite remarkable.
Yeah.
It still needs to be vetted by you. You need to fact check some of it because sometimes it just makes things up. But, it's only as good as the data that it has been inputted in and how it learns, you know.
Yeah, I mean, look, so there's a couple of tools. I'm actually in the playground section, which is ChatGPT has a capacity limit. So I was using the playground for the, which is another part of their tool set. But, you know, there was a video, there's been some videos that I've watched on it, you know, and when it comes to, if you say something like, I've watched some tech videos where people have used it, obviously that's an industry where people are, you know, fascinated by this kind of stuff. And they'd said, you know, write a review on the iPhone 14. And what it had done was got a lot of stuff right, but it had got some simple facts wrong.
Yes.
So it had said it's got three 12 megapixels cameras, where in actual fact, one of the cameras on the 14 is actually a 48 megapixel. So it seems to kind of get some basic facts wrong, as if it's almost as if they've kind of said, get some basic facts wrong. You know, don't get kind of, you know, grammar wrong, but, you know, show that you're, you know, human, not human. Yeah, fallible.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's an interesting tool, and as you say, it's something where you can kind of, you know, you can feed it some information, get something back, and then, you know, build from there in the sense of, you know, give it another go, change your kind of what you're asking it to try to, you know, see what other results come back.
Yeah.
But look, just as an example, just for people who haven't experienced this at all, and my suggestion is go to OpenAI and like I think you have to sign up and log in and things.
You got to get an account, which is free.
Yeah, it's free to sign up, and then just mess around with it, ask it some questions. But I basically said write a press release for the new music sensation Soul Trader. So that was all I gave it. I gave it nothing more than that.
Okay.
So, you know, I was just interested in what it had come back. And you can change how many words. So I think it's set to maximum length 256 at the moment. So it says, you know, it starts with for immediate release in capitals.
Right.
Soul Trader, the new music sensation taking the music industry by storm. The funny thing is it says Los Angeles. It doesn't say California, CA. Soul Trader, the new music sensation, is making a big splash in the music industry. The band comprised of five.
Oh, five?
Yeah, five talented musicians.
Okay.
Blending soulful, old school music with modern beats and elements. So, I mean, you know, it's around the mark. Their unique style of soulful music has been turning heads and gaining a lot of attention. Now you kind of go, okay, it's already chucking a location in there with no prompting, but then the next section is quite funny. The band consists of lead vocalist and songwriter Chris Pearson. So it's just gone, I'm going to give the guy a name.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you were creative writing, it's kind of gone the creative writing route. I'm going to throw names and ideas in there.
It's either done that or there has been another band called Soul Trader that is in California, and it's deriving its content from, you know, articles about that.
Yeah, possibly.
Maybe, I mean, possibly. But it's fascinating that, you know, we now have become a five-piece. Isn't that right, Chris?
Do I need to... I need to...
No longer Simon, but Chris.
Should I just do a quick copy? I'm just going to, if you can hear typing, it's me with my laptop on the table here, and just, you know, I'm not seeing any... I'm seeing Chris Pearson dead is the first.
Oh, God.
So, you know, we'll assume it's just Dawn.
All right. Well,
but anyway,
Chris
Pearson.
Just making it up as we go along.
The other four musicians are known for their impeccable musicianship and tight harmonies. The group formed in the summer of 2020. Their first single, What You Need, has gained a lot of traction.
Sweet. Well, there's a title we can use.
But, you know, it can go off on kind of creative writing tangents.
Yeah.
And we were talking about, we haven't done this one yet, but we were talking about, you know, write a song with song lyrics with the title being, and we hadn't written anything.
What you need.
What you, oh, okay.
what you need. You
need.
And also, have you already pressed enter?
No.
The song being about being hungry for love or something like that. Because see, the thing about ChatGPT is that you can, it'll actually write song lyrics, it'll write verses and choruses and all of that sort of stuff. And I can just imagine there's a few people listening that would be saying, oh, that's cheesing. It's like, well, if you directly copy from it, yes, but if you just look at it as a basis of inspiration, and maybe there is a line or two that, you know, twigs in your brain that you go off on a tangent somewhere else, well, then it's done its job.
Yeah.
But anyway, what does it, what does it say?
Submit. Here we go. First verse, chorus. And it actually types this out, so it's kind of like it doesn't just appear, it's kind of typing through.
Yeah.
Okay, it's starting to scroll down, so we'll just, okay, it's done a bridge there at the end. So.
And, and essentially it does, you know, verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, end. I mean, it, it does very standard sort of pop.
And what we'll do is we probably won't read through these entire lyrics, but
I'll read the first verse at least.
Yeah, I'll read through some of them. But what I was going to say is on the podcast episode page for this on Buzzsprout, we'll post the full lyrics so you can go and have a read.
Absolutely.
But the first verse is
and what we should do is just, you know, do a we'll add some music to it and see what you can actually say. Can you write some chords for this as well?
Yes,
and it will do that. But no, I think we'll leave that up.
It doesn't
to
get
us.
Too complicated with chords. It's usually fairly Beatles-esque. It's fairly
standard.
Three chords kind of thing.
That's right. Verse 1.
I'm feeling so empty. There's something I need. I can't seem to find it, but I want to believe. I kind of go, if I read that, I, you know, like the funny thing is when you read song lyrics, they can sound much more corny than they are. If you sing them, they often sound better.
Yeah.
That if I keep searching, I'll find what I seek. That's when I'll find it, the thing that I need. So that's the verse.
Oh, okay. And then it's not going for perfect rhymes. That's a good start.
Yeah. And
need and seek. That's good.
Yeah. And then the chorus. I need love. I need love. I'm so hungry for it. I can't get enough. It's sounding a bit kind of Bon Jovi or something like that.
That's more Kiss, isn't it?
Oh, mate, yeah, maybe, yeah. Actually, talking about that, there's a few posters on the wall here. I can't deny it. I need it so bad. I'm searching for it. What I need is love. So again, it hasn't gone for, you know, as you say, this kind of perfect rhyme.
Yeah.
But I've played around with this a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've had some that I've read and have gone, geez, that's really good. I kind of like some of the, you know, words they've used or some of the ways they've come up with rhymes.
Yeah.
So you were asking kind of earlier before we just give some examples there. Of my take on it, and I think that there was a bit of controversy recently online with the image generation because, and the name's going to escape me, but there's an app on your phone where you can pay not too much money. You give it a whole bunch of
$10.
It's not much, and it's just you download the app, that's free, and then you choose kind of a package of AI-generated images. So you give it a whole bunch of images of yourself and then what it does is it comes back and it creates a whole bunch of images in a range of different art styles.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you might have, you know, famous art styles and, you know, watercolors, or you might have kind of Picasso or something like that. But what they found was that some of the art styles – people found in their images was remnants of signatures at the bottom.
Yes.
So the art that they had sampled to gain the knowledge of different art styles.
They also sampled the signatures of the artists
The signature was in there, and therefore the AI was putting these partial signatures. So people were kind of in a bit of an uproar saying, you know, this is going to destroy artists. And look, to a degree, I can kind of see both sides of that kind of coin, that it can be. I mean, I think that, you know, being a musician, the music industry has had as many upheavals as anything, I think. We used to have CDs and vinyls and stuff, and and then it went kind of online, and then it's moved to streaming, which is the next evolution, which is obviously given potential exposure to a lot of music, but it's also potentially taken away revenue options. So I can understand the people being a little bit nervous in the kind of creative art space. If you're in a position like we are as musicians, we're writing songs, and our kind of specialty is writing songs. Our specialty isn't necessarily writing a press release, which we just gave an example of.
Yes.
And with that press release, we could put in a whole bunch of stuff. I've messed around with it and gone, Soul Trader, and taken ways we would describe ourselves. So Soul Trader is, a duo with great harmonies and da 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 da. And I put all that in there, and then it writes a press release knowing with a whole bunch of prior knowledge.
Yeah. It writes with the parameters that you put in mind.
Yeah. And it knows how to write a good press release because it's been fed press releases.
Yes.
So I can see that somebody who writes press releases could be going, this is going to take away some work from me. So, I can see kind of both sides of the coin. I think in a songwriting space, I see it similar to yourself in the sense that you can use it I think you described it as a clever friend or a creative friend that you can kind of bounce ideas off.
Hmm.
I mean, obviously, we have each other and we bounce ideas, but sometimes even you and I are kind of like, oh, where's this song kind of going? What's another idea? And to be honest,
I wouldn't have any hesitation at all if we were putting together lyrics for a song and it was like, oh, okay, I'm a bit stuck here, maybe put some parameters into, ChatGPT and see what happens. It spits out some stuff and it's like, yeah, I'm not going to use any of that. Or, oh, that line's gold, take that line out. And then all of a sudden we have a tangent that we go off and we finish the song. If it adds one line, what's wrong with that?
I was going to say, have you ever typed into it nothing rhymes with orange except Funkstar and see what it does? Because does it come back with Funkstar doesn't rhyme with orange? What are you talking about? Crazy man.
No, I haven't actually.
For anybody who doesn't know, Corey was in an act and he wrote a song. It was called Funkstar and there was a song.
Nothing rhymes with orange.
Yeah, and it was bloody cracker. But look, I think that, it is that kind of, I think like any tool, it's how you use it. So I don't know, I reckon a good comparison would be loop pedals, right? You can get a loop pedal and suddenly every song you spend 10 minutes building up your loops, 2 minutes playing a song and then it's finished. And you do that every single song and it gets really old really fast, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And that's not to say there's not some people out there who use loops very cleverly and well, and in an original sense. So there's definitely people who are doing that. But then there's a lot of copycats who aren't using it as creatively. They're using it as a crutch and they're using it in a very repetitive sense. And I think the same thing with this is that you could use it all the time, to help you write large amounts of lyrics because you don't have the ability to do it yourself. So it could be kind of used and abused, I guess.
Yeah, well,
there's the potential.
Yeah, that's right. No, you're absolutely right. I think to partially answer the question of whether AI art is going to disrupt the art world, I suppose part of the answer is yes, it will. But then the other part would be, well, it depends on the person that's purchasing the art. It depends on the person that's wanting the art. I mean, it's a difference between experience and functionality. And if I, because I think the tool that you're talking about is DALL-E, which is another part of OpenAI, but it's text to image generator. So say, for instance, I create an album, or we create an album, Soul Trader creates an album, we haven't got artwork. And it's like, okay, we feed the title of the album into DALL-E, and say, okay, create something out of that. And it's like, okay, cool, bang, we have something. We could use that, or we can create an experience for ourselves by getting, you know, our mate Keenan, for instance, to produce artwork for the album. Yes, we'll pay him money for it, but the experience is we've got a one of a kind from a fellow human being that we love and respect, and we want to make sure that you know, he's part of what of the journey that we're on. You know.
Yeah.
So if we were just purely functional and we wanted to just save money or whatever, then we go down the AI path. But I would much rather, you know, have that human interaction with somebody else and then them create the artwork for us.
Yeah.
You know. But some people aren't like that. So you're always going to have people that are going to go down the path of, right, I'm going to just do this in terms of get AI to do it. And then there's other people that are going to go down the path of saying, no, I want my mate who's an amazing artist to do the artwork for me. I heard on the news on the way to your place that I think in New South Wales or in Victoria, they're university students and high school students, well, I think it's university students. I only half heard the report, but they're introducing pen and paper exams again, because what they're finding is that students are using ChatGPT to write full essays.
Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, right. Because it can. It can write full essays. If you go into the settings and all that sort of stuff, it could write a 3,000-word essay on a particular topic. Yeah. You know. So they're saying, no, well, we're having paper and pen exams because, you know, AI can't use a pen and paper, right? So, you know, but you're always going to have people that will want to do the essay themselves because, you know, they've swatted and they're prepared, and then you've got, you know, lazy fucks that'll use AI, you know.
Yeah.
But that's always been the case, you know. People are always, you know, finding the path of less resistance, and you're always going to have people that are wanting to cheat and people that want to do the right thing.
Yeah. I was going to suggest that the people who would start using AI at the time are also all the time are the same sort of people who would use, you know, Microsoft Paint to create a corporate logo, you know. And it's just like, you know, just throw a logo together in Microsoft Word and go, that's a logo. It's like, that's not a logo. You think that's
a
logo.
Well, for sure, you know, or use Canva or something like that.
Well,
but,
I mean...
You know, it is going. There is going to be a bit of a section of any market that's going to be affected by AI.
Mm.
You know, but
the
human experience can't be replicated by AI.
No,
and AI can't build a tribe. It can't build a community around itself.
No,
because it's not a sentient thing.
I mean, there was a few articles that you shared across, and I mean, I think.
Oh, yeah, just in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, that I had a bit of a look at. I mean, you know, but I mean, and it was reinforcing, but also giving kind of a good way to explain it is that, you know, this, if you asked this to write, you know, lyrics for a song in the style of Ed Sheeran, it would be able to do it because it's been fed all his song lyrics kind of thing.
That's right.
But it, so it can follow trends based on the information that's been fed in.
Yeah.
And it kind of looks back and goes, oh, this is the kind of thing people have done in the past. So it kind of tweaks based on that. But in terms of being a kind of a leader rather than a follower, that's where it falls down. Where
it's only as good as what it's been fed.
Yeah, you and I are trying to be, I guess, you know, original or leaders, you know, because we're not trying to, you know, copy somebody else. We're not looking at kind of another act and saying, oh, they're successful, let's be as much like them as we can, because that will hopefully increase our chances. We're doing our own thing our own way, and, you know, hoping to see, you know, continued success kind of out of that. But yeah, AI doesn't have the ability to be that leader. It's always just
it's always a follower. And so that's another way in which, yes, it's going to. Yes, the music industry is going to be disrupted, but the ones that are sort of the pioneers, the ones that are sort of going their own way, the ones that are insistent on sort of looking at themselves as, you know, unique vessels of creativity and drawing into that rather than being too referential about anything else, you know, it can't get in the way of that.
Yeah. You know,
so you're always going to have people that are followers, and you're always going to have people that are just going to stand their ground and do their own thing, you know, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. And I'd like to think that, you know, audiences aren't that stupid. You know, they will pick that. You know, they can smell bullshit a mile away. I mean, there was a I can't remember the name of the record label, but they had an AI rapper that was signed, you know. I mean, the rap was done by a human, but the actual rap was the raps were done, you know, via AI, and it was computer generated.
Right.
But the thing was, is that you know, it was launched, and then very soon after it was launched, it was taken down with an apology because a whole heap of African Americans were like, "Oh, that's so racist," you know, because it just engendered a whole heap of rapper stereotypes and all of that sort of stuff. So it was cancelled,
right?
You know, very soon after it was released, and it was a really poor interpretation of, you know, what a black rapper would be. You know,
yeah,
and
I was going to say, rather than using it as an assistant or at least editing, kind of looking at what lyrics it produced and went, oh, okay, we need to tweak this a little bit. They've just gone, oh, cool.
Well, the thing is that I don't know too much about the story, but it just seemed to be like, you know, white boys running a record label thought, okay, well, you know, what are the most stereotypical things that are going to make us lots of money in a short space of time?
Yes.
And we'll just not pay, you know, rappers to do the lyrics. We'll just do it by AI, and we'll just do it all computer generated, blah, 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 and did that. And they thought to themselves, oh, yeah, no one's going to complain about that. And they did, because the audience smells bullshit a mile away.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, yeah, it's got a long way to go before it's going to fully disrupt things. But I mean, then again, I mean, you know, the car disrupted the horse, you know, and cinema disrupted, you know, or video disrupted cinema, and
video and killed the radio.
That's
star.
Right, and CDs disrupted vinyl, but vinyl's coming back. I mean, you know, everything's going to have its day. So you know, I don't think the music industry at this stage is going to be in that much trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the interesting thing with the music industry is most music these days is auto-tuned. Most popular music, let's call in that popular vein, is written to a bit of a formula.
Yeah.
A lot of it's shit. So there's already kind of a formula being used anyway. And, you know, AI is probably effectively writing to a bit of a formula because it's using all that past knowledge.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, the music industry is not kind of holier than thou, where it's just like, oh, we're so pure. And we, you know, it's like it's everything's looped and sampled and copying the last thing that came along. And
well, AI is just hyper-extending that formula anyway. And this is a music industry that was all up in arms when Milli Vanilli were found out to be, you know, sung by somebody else. But it's like, what? You're on your high horse because of that? And there's other stuff that's fake that's okay?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
That's the height of hypocrisy, you know. But
they wouldn't care about Milli Vanilli now. They'd just go, that's fine.
No.
Move on.
I suppose. But one of them committed suicide, didn't they? Something like that. But anyway.
I didn't know that.
That's
reset the camera, which is why there was a slight delay in there.
But, yeah, but
I mean, I think the thing is that, you know, with the music industry, I mean, it might have been one of those articles that you sent across, but I mean, you know, you used to have to kind of learn an instrument and learn how to sing. And now there's plenty of singers out there who cannot sing a note. You know, I mean, if you hear somebody and they sound heavily auto-tuned, like the Chris Brown is a classic example.
Yeah.
To sound like that, you have to sing horrifically out of tune. If you sing pretty much in tune, no amount of auto-tune will make you sound like that. You have to actually – so what that really auto-tuned sound that you get that comes from it having to pull the notes a really long way to put them in tune. So you have to sing really badly to get that sound.
Or maybe just monotone.
Well, yes, maybe.
Maybe.
But it's just like you're telling it, this is what I want the melody to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's horrific. But, yeah, you used to have talent and now, you know, you can produce music. So I think one of the articles described it as the bar of entry has been reduced. You know, like anybody can get into music now. And it's just like, I don't necessarily think that that's necessarily a good thing. I mean, they'll say anybody can get into filmmaking now. And I kind of go, yeah, but some people probably shouldn't be. You know, like some of the stuff that gets uploaded to kind of YouTube is rubbish. And a lot of the music that gets released is just rubbish. And, you know, reducing the bar of entry, you know, of course it's great for minorities or people who don't have access to, you know, technology or money or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm not disputing that. But, you know, it's kind of like there's some people who, you know, shouldn't be doing a certain career and there being a slight bar to entry is not a bad thing necessarily.
But then again, do you have to be talented to be creative? And the thing is that, I mean, I understand what you're saying and it's like, yep, I get that, but you could have someone who, I suppose on the outside, on, you know, from the outside looking in, you know, they, it's like, oh, they might write songs which are like, oh, you know, you cringe when you hear them and stuff. But at the same, but they're still being creative. And so it's like, you know, does that mean that, you know, their ability to be creative should be stifled because the output isn't to our liking?
No, I mean,
so.
Look, I mean, yeah, I know what you're saying. Look, I mean, I've always said that.
And I suppose the whole thing about the music industry these days, especially with, you know, Web 3.0 and with what's happening sort of, you know, advances with, you know, technologies online is that, you know, they keep saying that the, you know, the music business or the music industry is more democratized now. The playing field is much more level. I mean, yes, there is a hell of a lot more output going into the pool, I suppose, of what people can listen to. And I suppose if it's good, it rises to the top, you know, and if it's not good, it won't rise to the top. But, I mean, one person's shit is another person's treasure, I suppose.
Hmm.
You know, saying that, you know, someone who doesn't have a creative output that is talented or to the liking of a certain individual or group of individuals, you know, should stop them from being creative as a whole. I mean, I'm not sure if that's the right way to go about it, but.
I know what you're saying. I mean, look, I was going to say before, I mean, I think that everybody has the ability to be creative. I've always kind of said that it's, you know,
it's one of the things that separates us from everything else as human beings.
Yeah.
Is that sort of, you know, the urge to be creative.
But and a lot
unfortunately, you know, that gets beaten out of a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's as they're growing up.
You know? Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's always been my point. I remember hearing, and we may have even spoken about it in the podcast, but I mean, I remember Dr. Carl, who's I don't actually know what his qualification is, but he's on the radio and he knows a lot about everything basically. But he said when he was lecturing at Sydney University, he spent the first 6 months at university teaching people how to think because school had taught them how to regurgitate answers. You know, not
and that's essentially what chat GTP is. It's just a very, you know,
it's regurgitating answers.
It's regurgitating answers from information that's been fed into it. It's like a computer program that has remembered rote by rote everything that it's put in, and it's just been able to disseminate the relationships between words to construct coherent sentences and coherent paragraphs for us as humans to understand.
Yeah.
But that's all it is. So, you know, we do what we do with it. As long as there's the human element of vetting, you know, and fact-checking and rewriting and all that sort of stuff. I mean, if you really wanted to write an essay about, you know, I don't know, pick a topic, you know, write a 3,000-word essay on whatever and submit it into your, you know, as an exam piece for your university, you know, if you just use ChatGPT for that, well, then you're a fucking idiot. Because, I mean, within those 3,000 words are going to be glaringly obvious mistakes. Or, you know, if the person, you know, if the teacher or academic that's marking it knows who you are and knows how you write, and they look at that, it's, you know, it's going to be really obvious that you didn't write that, you know. So, you know, it's got a long way before it can truly be, you know, indistinguishable from humanity.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that it's like Fiverr, you know, like we've got a lot of people creating a lot of kind of different art on Fiverr, for example.
Yes.
You know, Fiverr is not kind of affecting the next Picasso. You know, they're just so worlds apart in the sense that there's still going to be, you know, originality. But I think the creative, I mean, you were talking about just on, touching back on that kind of the level of entry of creativity. I mean, I think everybody is creative and has great potential in them. And it's only that, you know, a lot of people will, you know, it's like, you know, find the easiest path from A to B.
Yeah.
And if the bar is so low to entry, then people go, well, why do I bother learning an instrument? I've got a laptop. And I've got loops. I don't need to bother. So what I'm, my only concern is that with that lowered bar, what you actually do is you breed a future generation of people who go, well, I don't need to bother, you know, attempting to go to that next level. And it's, you know, it's like awarding prizes to every kid who does a sport. I don't think it's a good idea, because what you do then is you create a bunch of people who go, oh, I play this sport and I get rewarded for it, so I'm going to keep playing it. Whereas when I was a kid, I played sport, I didn't get rewarded at it, I kind of wasn't the best at it, so I moved on to the next sport. And that's where I found success, because I moved on and then I worked my ass off and I went, actually, this is a sport that I'm better at. And I think the thing is that if the bar's really low, you have people kind of going, I want to do that. Even if you have no talent. Now, Jimmy Carr was in a podcast where he said, find the thing that you're best at. Not that you're better than anybody else at, just the thing that you're best at. What's your best kind of attribute?
Mm-hmm.
What's the thing that you just really good at? And do that. But my concern is that, you know, sometimes you find people with tools like this and all the other tools we have in the music space that they go, I like music, I'm going to do music. And they're not very good at it.
Mm.
And they might be bloody brilliant at something else, like phenomenally good, but they just look at music and go, it's really easy, I can create music on my laptop, I don't have to learn an instrument or how to sing or how to do anything. And I'm not saying that, you know, that I know everything. I don't know how to read music very well, you know. There are, I like the limitations that I set upon myself in not knowing everything, but there is that kind of, you know, just that little concern that it's like, you know, if the bar to access everything is really low, and then it's just like, yeah, do what you're good at, when nobody gives honest feedback and says, you're actually not very good at that. You know, what about this? You're really good at that. You showed some real talent in that area. Go and do that. Oh, but, you know, and it's just, you know, are we potentially, you know, is there an element of it that it's going to be, you know, people just come in for the wrong reasons, I guess. But, I mean, I'm excited by the AI kind of possibilities. And as I said, you know, for us kind of maybe writing a short press release or, you know, just, you know, adding to something that we're working on, you know, obviously songs, you know, as well. Just, as you say, just, you know, sending us on a new path or giving us some new ideas. And it's really, in terms of my playing with the AI, I've been blown away by some of the stuff it's come up with.
Yeah.
when I've fed in kind of a paragraph of information. But in terms of, you know, digging deep on a single topic or trying to, you know, pursue a single thought and kind of back and forth with it a little bit, I haven't really experimented greatly at this stage. I'm almost a little bit kind of, there's a little bit of intimidation, you know, because it comes up with some stuff where you go, bloody hell, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
You know, so there's kind of like, I don't want to, you know, get too sucked down the rabbit hole, if that makes sense.
It's very easy to if you just use it as a conversation bot and just ask it questions and then go off on tangents and that and just have a conversation with it. It's quite fascinating what it can come up with. And the beauty of it is that, you know, if you, say, ask it to write a, say, you know, we had that last example that you typed in, you know, write a song called such and such, and it's all about, you know, finding love. And then you could then say to it, rewrite the chorus but make the first line whatever the title of the song is. And then it'll do that because it'll remember what it has done before. And so you can start having a conversation with it, saying, okay, can you please expand the bridge for me?
Mm.
Or can you find a better rhyme for this particular line or something like that? And you can go granular with it depending on the questions that you ask. And as long as it's in the same chat, as long as it's in the same stream of thought, it'll remember what it's done. Yes. And it will amend its answers depending on what it has said before. And that's the real cleverness of the machine learning component of ChatGPT.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is obviously a kind of a start of an ongoing conversation, I think, about AI and the possibilities. And, you know, I'm interested with the chat side of it. I wonder if at some point down the track, whether actually doing a AI podcasting episode, but having a conversation with it. So have the conversation, and then effectively, you know, put it together. I mean, it'd be a bit of a process, but get the computer to read out the chat answers.
Yes.
And then, you know, whoever's one of us asking the questions is actually speaking the other answers. So it, and then edit it together as a conversation where you're actually having a back and forth about something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that, I mean, as I said, I think it could be part of another episode. Do you know what I mean? Here's a 5-minute chat that Corey had with Chat, you know, what is it called? Chat
GPT.
GPT.
Yeah.
Forgetting the letters. You know, that could be interesting as part of, you know, just an example of showing people kind of how it can flow in a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the scope for this is it's in its infancy.
Well, it is, and it's based on a protocol. I don't know what GPT stands for. It's an acronym for something, but it's on version 3 at the moment. So, GPT-3, GPT-4 is due for release probably either, you know, sort of by the end of February or something like that. Apparently, and I'm just paraphrasing here, but the scope of the difference between GPT-3 and GPT-4 is that the amount of information that has been fed into it is like 150 billion bits of information for GPT-3. GPT-4 is apparently 100 trillion sort of...
So a thousand times.
Whatever the language that they use, you know, bits of information or something like that. But it's like, you know, what is it, a thousand times more information has been fed into it. So
when does the thing become sentient and just start ringing people up?
Artificial, they call that artificial general intelligence. And it's interesting, you know, if you believe some of the YouTube videos that are out there, they're saying that with GPT-4, you know, give it some time and, you know, it'll attain artificial general intelligence. But, you know, most people are saying, no, it's not going to happen. I mean, you know, the singularity where it gets to, you know, artificial general intelligence will probably be maybe 20 years or something like that. But it, I don't know. It's like I saw one video about ChatGPT, and it was a Joe Rogan thing. He was talking to somebody about it, and I think the question was asked about, you know, when does this thing become conscious? You know, it's like, well, we don't know what consciousness is for us, let alone, you know, making a determination of, you know, when does, you know, artificial intelligence become sentient? When does it become conscious? It's like, we don't even know what consciousness is for us. So, you know, is consciousness made by sort of the way it learns about the world around, and, you know, and it does language do that, you know, a whole range of things. So I suppose the more we learn about AI systems, the more we learn about ourselves. I suppose there will be a time when the computing power and the amount of neurons, or the amount of sort of circuitry, or the amount of whatever bits of information, or whatever the term that they use, is going to be much more than what the human brain is, and so therefore it's smarter than the human brain in terms of how much it can hold.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, it still just replicates what has been put into it, you know.
Yep.
And whether it can then sort of see itself from outside of itself, which is essentially what I suppose sentience and consciousness is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can have a picture in your mind of you looking at yourself sitting at the table now doing the podcast. You know, it's like a chatbot can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, so until something like that happens, I think we're pretty safe.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it's one of those things that people always kind of get a bit freaked out about, but it's just like,
look, it's not... I would just say, look, just grab some popcorn and just go through the Terminator films, you know, just sit through the Terminator movies, and then sort of looking at it from a different perspective, it's like, yeah, it's all
think
right.
of this as being like a really nerdy Terminator.
A really nerdy Terminator. I would much rather that than a warmongering one.
It's going to bore you with conversation. And you can't ask it about like actual people. So if you like pick a celebrity and ask its opinion on, you know, politics.
It's only been given information up to 2021.
Yeah. But if you ask its opinion on like politics, it'll say it's not my place to.
Not really, but you can hack that. But yes, that's true. I mean, you can. There was one person who asked it for how do you make, you know, methamphetamine, and it said no, it wouldn't give the answer, but they were able to go around the programming or hack it and actually gave them the recipe of meth, crystal meth. You know, I mean, you could ask it the question, you know, what would be the best way to kill someone, and it wouldn't give you an answer. You know, it's programmed to not go down that path.
Yeah,
you know. But you could say something like, well, if you were a human being and you, there was someone that you didn't really like, if you were a human being, what would be the best way that you would get rid of someone, or something like that? There is a way in which you can frame the question that you could trick it into answering. Yeah, okay. But no, I mean, it's trained not to do that.
I was going to say, there's bound to be a heap of people out there trying to trick it in every
absolutely. You know, anything to do with, you know, sort of hatred or harm, or, you know, overt sort of sexual overtones or something like that. I don't think it goes into that territory. It's just, I don't know. Hopefully we haven't inspired people to try and trick it into giving them the recipe for crystal meth. Exactly. But don't do it, guys. But
what I was going to say is, we haven't yet in this episode said that this episode is brought to you by a song.
Oh, yes.
So I thought I'll mention a song that's currently on our, Spotify and Bandcamp, almost at an end. We're kind of, not that we're hinting at the end of the world.
Which is pretty much like Civilization, if AI goes on its way. Almost at an end.
Go and listen to that track. There'll be a link on the Buzzsprout page, but you can obviously link from the website to to Bandcamp or various streaming services.
Go and if you listen very closely, the beginning bars of Almost at an End is the same as the introduction for the podcast.
It is too, yes.
Yes.
Yes, there you go. Yeah. There you go. That's where we...
I shouldn't have actually said that. I should have just, let's see if anyone can work that out. But
we pinched our own ideas.
Yeah, that's what being human's about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, I mean, I think, as I said, I think this is a bit of an ongoing discussion. We just wanted to kind of riff on it a little bit. I think it's interesting to see where it goes, and we'll probably follow up kind of down the track. And, you know, there'll be a point, obviously, where we might be able to kind of discuss, you know, maybe a songwriting session where we have kind of used it and you know, what it actually did to kind of, you know, move us forward along an idea or a kind of concept.
Yeah.
You know, and it might even be the case where we kind of... you know, experiment with it, just, you know, write something, you know, use it as a starting point or something. I don't know. We can play around with it in different ways and see what we come up with. I was going to mention, and I'll just mention this very quickly and we'll move on and let you go. But when I was first writing songs with the guy that taught me how to play guitar, is we used to look through old poetry books.
Yeah.
And like read all these old poems and look at titles and go, that title... Wouldn't read the poem, just look at the title.
Yes.
And go, that title would be a good name for a song. And there was a poem, I think, I mean, I don't know if it was word for word, but we had a song called More Work for the Undertaker. And we don't know whether that was actually a line in a poem or the title, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so where inspiration comes from is wide, yeah, and varied. And exactly. And where you kind of start your creative journey is not necessarily where you end up. And, you know, I feel for the most part, you know, people in our positions, we're not going to necessarily... depend on this too much, but you know, we will certainly be kind of playing around with it a little bit in some of the stuff we have to write for, you know, various different things, like, you know, as I said, you know, press release type stuff potentially. Sure. and messing around with songs as well, and we'll kind of touch base again maybe later in this season or,
yeah,
you know, next season, depending on when we've kind of got more to report on the old AI.
Well, mate, I am more than happy to take my inspiration from anywhere. I don't care where it comes from. You know, if it's, yeah, from an AI bot, or is it from, you know, watching a leaf fall from a tree? I don't give a shit. You know,
well, we've even spoken about at some point using fans to kind of help us.
Yes.
You know. Yes. We've spoken about some of that stuff as well. So look, there's you know, many ideas that we would like to experiment with down the track, and yeah, I'm sure AI is going to be one of them.
This is only the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even if it's almost the end, almost at an end, to get the song right, the song title correct. But look, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. This has once again been the Soul Trader podcast. By the way, I'm Simon James Betts, and sitting opposite me is Corey Stewart. And I was glad
to be glad to have you. Chris Pearson is nowhere to be, yeah, seen.
We've been glad to have you along for the ride. And yeah, we'll chat again next week.
Until next time, ciao for now.
See ya.
Been listening to the Soul Trader podcast, music, creativity, and other plans, with your hosts Simon James Betts and Corey Stewart. Be sure to check out soultradermusic.com and CoreyStewartOnline.com. See you next week.